Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you will join us today. We know that the Lord has a word for you. This is the season for giving, and this is the season to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we're doing so, we're excited that he took the time to come and take care of us. Amen. Some of us, we have some stuff going on. Let me just talk about myself. I needed him to come, and he showed up, and I'm so grateful for that. Amen. Before we go any further, let me go ahead and turn over to Prophetess Crystal so she can give us our announcements and lead us in our prayer. Prophetess Crystal.
Good evening, everybody. Once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. This evening's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us right here for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with none other than Apostle McQueen. On Thursday nights at 7 p.m., join me, Prophetess McQueen, for Prophetic Atmosphere. You can hear all of our broadcasts live and even in the archives at www.ctkr.org. And while you're there at our website, if you would like any information or you want to put in a prayer request or for any ministerial engagements, on that contact page on the tab has all that information there. Please leave as much detailed information as you can. Amen. And someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. Also want to let you know that we have Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny has a Facebook page. Go to our Facebook page and like us there. Leave your prayer requests, your praise reports. Amen. Leave your praise reports. Let us know what God is doing in your life. Amen. Those are the quick announcements for today. More information will come as Apostle McQueen is led and the time allows. But those are the announcements as follows. Let us get ready for the Word of God. Come on, let us pray. Father, we bless you and we thank you and we exalt your holy name. You are mighty. There's no one else like you. And we bless you. We thank you for this day that you have made. God, we thank you that this is the season that you're in. God, we thank you for your strength and your anointing and your power. As the man of God goes forth tonight, Father, crown him with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Open our ears that we may hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. We submit to your will and your way for our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking now that your people will go out of this season, 2013, with more power, more anointing, more revelation in who you are and who they are in you. God, I'm asking that people will begin to manifest your glory by signs, wonders, and miracles, and that your word will be preached and taught. The gospel will be taught and preached throughout the world, and that your people, amen, will line up and come into unity, Father, as we begin to minister this word, for the days are growing short. We thank you, we praise you, and we glorify you. We ask all of this in your son's name. Amen.
And amen. I am so grateful to God because he has allowed us to minister. Just sitting back and looking over the years that we've been in ministry. I started out in ministry back in about 89. Amen. And started, you know, preaching and teaching the word and doing what I could do. And I still remember hearing the Lord call me and knowing what it meant and trying to do any and everything other than that. Amen. I wasn't successful. I think it is that experience there that helps me when I'm dealing with others now who are in ministry and trying to figure out which way they need to go or which way they want to go. And I want you to know that there's no other way than through Christ. If he has called you, then he has already walked your life out. I hate to tell you this, but I love telling this. And when he walked your life out, he had every plan, every purpose, every situation was already there and is already signed, sealed, and delivered. My brothers and sisters, you can't lose following God. And I say that because too often what we try to do is we try to find different ways to get around it. You know, but you can't get around God. I mean, he's just there. I mean, every place you go, David said like this, you know, if I go to the mountaintop, there you are. If I go to the depths of hell itself, there you are. Where can I go that you are not? See, and when you understand that, then you understand that running, even though it is your choice to do so, it will never result in anything other than you being winded, but still at the discretion of God. Amen. Mm-hmm. With that means when he says, okay, I've allowed you to run a little bit, but now come on in here and let's get connected to this destiny that I have for you, mm-hmm. this work, this assignment I have for you. You know, horses can run in the field, but eventually when it's time, they got to get hitched up to the wagon because running is fine, but guess what? We got tasks. We got work to do. Mm-hmm. Amen? And when you understand that thing, you understand that God will let you do some things, but after all is said and done, let's get down to what God called us to do and be focused on that. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. I want to go back to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, 10th verse. I know we're going into, or that we're in the Advent of Christmas now, which really means the Mass for Christ. It is a term that was taken and adopted in the whole to mean this whole season. And when it really began, it was the time when they came together in the Roman Catholic tradition, and they celebrated the Mass of Christ, which is why we have Christ Mass or Christmas. Amen. But for us, we just celebrate the fact that Christ is born. Amen. And whether or not you call it Christmas or Xmas or whatever else, you know, and people think that they're doing something to discredit God when they call it Xmas. Let me tell you, whether it's you still call it a mass, which still takes it back to church, you know. we have to remember that the whole point and purpose of this time of year is the birth of Christ. I had a conversation with a young lady, and you know, we have to tell the whole truth, and that is about Santa Claus. Santa Claus is not real. This time of year is not about Santa Claus and him giving gifts. And we got to stop fostering falsehoods amongst our young people so that they never know until it's well down the road that they're really getting to Santa Claus, you know. I thank God that I was in the conversation, was able to explain the different things about it. And it's not so much to destroy the hope as it is to reveal the truth. Amen. If we look at this as a whole, how many times have we, in order to foster a example of a perfectness or a balance this or whatever it is, have lied? I'm going to let that hit you just a little bit. See, because in the church, if I don't tell you that God is not pleased with something that you do, then you'll keep on doing it thinking that God, well, he ain't looking at it like that. Well, guess what? He looking at it like that. Amen. And if I don't tell you, then you go off a false pretense believing that it's something that it is not. Amen. And then it comes back to judgment. It comes back to when God says, you know what? I needed you to step up and stand up and proclaim and declare. And why didn't you tell the truth? Well, I wasn't trying to, you know, I didn't want to dash their hopes. There's no hopes in anything else other than Christ. Amen. So your hope for your life is in Christ. And we have to get back to preaching Jesus, amen, and him crucified. Mm-hmm. And let the devil and everybody else be a lie. But make sure we tell the truth about the word of God, amen. Mm-hmm. If the children don't learn now that Jesus Christ is the reason for the season, then as they grow up in our educational system and other secular formats that are out there, they're increasingly taking Jesus and the Bible and everything else out of proportion. The young lady said to me, well, you know, Santa Claus is just as real as God and Jesus. And I said, oh, stop it right there. Never put God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, never put them on the same level as the Easter Bunny. You see that? Or Santa. Because when you do so, what you're actually doing is you're saying that all of those things that are make-believe are as real as God is. And Santa Claus don't do anything. But God woke you up this morning. It was him that gave you the strength and the power, gave you your faculties of your limbs and of your mind. You see that? There's nothing you can trace back to the Easter Bunny, amen, that gave you anything. Huh? But God gave you a way out. He preserved you. He kept you. You see that? So when we're looking at real or not real, we have to see the proof of it. Amen? Now we got to stop trying to attribute to other things what God has done. Amen? So we have to get back to this, and we have to understand it, and we have to move forward. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're older, they will not depart from it. I was having a conversation with some young men and women, and one thing that was said is that, you know, when we came up, there was no question of what we were going to eat. Mom said, there's dinner on the table. You went in there, and you liked it or not. But there was nothing else being made, and no, we didn't ask you before we made that. Amen. We've gotten to a place where we have started catering to the children, and the children, without benefit of knowledge of what is best, have started making decisions. You know, and when they make the decisions, we as the grown-ups, knowing better, have to live with childish decisions.
Amen.
And they said, you know, we didn't get that. Young man was saying he watched some people in the store, and he was asking them if they wanted his two boys. He asked them if they wanted hot dogs or pizza for dinner. And, you know, he said, well, hey, can they have cookies, a cookie? He's at a store where they was giving cookies out. And the father said, no, I told them that they could get some ice cream if they eat the hot dogs and eat all the hot dogs. And he said, oh, okay. He said, but as I walked away, I thought about the fact that when I grew up, we didn't have to be bribed to do right. You know, there was no bartering, you understand, for you to do what you were called to do or what you were supposed to do. You were trained, you understood, you understood that mama's mom and dad's dad and auntie and grandma, auntie and all of them, and you better not get out of line because any one of them could get you back in line real quick. Amen. Today we have decisions that we have given our children, and now when they are growing up, they've lost the ability to deal with society as we did. I saw something that an apostle friend of mine put up on social media. He said, when I grew up, we got whippings and we got spankings. And it says, and it gave me the mental condition of having respect for others, you know. And I think a lot of us in my age group who came up that way can say the same. Amen. When you came up and you didn't have structure in your life, you know, you didn't know how to operate in structure. I remember going into the military, and one of the first things I noticed is that people who came from these lives where everything was good and handed to them had a hard time in the military. Someone telling you how to do and when to do. Those of us who came up with a disciplined background, we knew exactly how to fall in line and keep everything together, and we rose in the ranks. That's how it works. Amen. Because you know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Amen. You know when to ask for clarity. I didn't say question. When to ask for clarity on a command as opposed to when just follow that command. Amen. That's something that you learn. Amen. It's trained inside of you. So now, how does this relate to what we're talking about here? I'm glad you asked. Second Timothy, Paul is talking to Timothy, his son. And he's letting him know, you know, listen, hey, you've seen all of this. You followed me. Let's go to the 10th verse. I'm going to read down. It says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, not just one place. All this stuff has happened. And let me just say right here as I'm going forward, you have to be careful about these people out here telling you good day and happy, happy, joy, joy, no bad, no sorrow, because the Bible clearly says that in this life you will have sorrows. You will have tribulations. Amen. Huh? But be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. Amen. Jesus said that. Amen. So now if we're Christians and we're following after Christ, Christ didn't tell me that at the cross he was going to take care of every battle and every situation. He said in this life, in this world, you will have tribulation. Mm-hmm. Jesus said that. So everybody out there propagating the lie that once that Jesus Christ nailed the curse of sin and poverty, okay, to the cross. You got the first part right. You got the second part wrong. The thing that Jesus Christ did at the cross was he took care of the debt for our sin. See, the sacrifice of the lamb was for just that. It was the sin offering. I wish I had time to go back and deal with the Levitical law, because they did not have one offering that took care of everything. When you looked at Abraham, or when you looked at Moses and Aaron and his sons, whenever they offered those sacrifices, they came in and they offered a sacrifice for themselves. And then they came and offered another sacrifice for the people. And then they came and offered another sacrifice for it. See, well, what they're trying to do with Jesus Christ is say, in all, he did everything at once. No, what he did at once was he took care of our sin debt now and forever. If sin through one man entered into the world, then through one man, Jesus Christ, sin was overcome in the world through his blood, which is the propitiation or the payment in full for our sins. And that's when we talk about what Christmas is really about. Jesus Christ came. You see that? And since he came, now I know what he gave. This is the gift that he gave to men. Amen? He came to redeem us from the curse of sin. Now, everything else that goes along with that, we have to see it in its proper context, amen? Because when we begin to tell people that you have been saved and now you will not have any more tribulation, trials, or anything else, people walk out with a false sense, amen, of truth. And as they hit the first test, the first trial, then we begin to tell them, well, you just didn't have enough faith. No, that's not the problem. The problem is that they weren't told the whole truth. The whole truth is that Jesus told us himself that in this life, we will, if we desire to have a godly life, we will have tribulations. There's a reason why we put on the whole armor of God. It's not because we want to look shiny and buffed up in front of everybody. It's because we need the armor on so that we can withstand in the day of battle. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? Because we have walked around and let people believe the hype. And let me call it what it is. It's hype. So, well, we got to get people in. You know, if we preach in hell and, you know, the wages of sin is death, then people don't want to come because they perceive us as being judgmental. Listen, if you don't tell them, why are you in the pulpit? Your job is to warn them of hell and remind them of the way out, which is Christ. What is your gospel if it's not the good news of Jesus Christ? And that's what they have done. They have changed the gospel from the good news of Christ to he died so you could be rich. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. See, that was the way to get you to give more money. It was marketing, yes, a marketing scheme. Amen. It became a pyramid scheme. So you started giving up to the next level up and higher up, trying to get more for yourself. But what you actually did was you dug deeper and deeper into the hole you were in, because God didn't put his promise on that, you see. So while you're giving to these men and to these women thinking that you're giving up and that's going to bless you to get what you need from God, you need to simply give to the kingdom of God as he told you to do, sow into the kingdom, which is not the person, but the ministry, the kingdom of God. Amen. Do the work of an evangelist. Amen. And as you do so, then God will begin to bless you with the resources to help fund his kingdom. Listen, if you're not trying to fund the kingdom of God and you're trying to build up the kingdom of I or build up somebody else, you think by your gift people are going to look at you and invoke a blessing upon you, you missed it. I tell you, we don't believe in this, and I'll shout you down, I won't shout you down. I'll just tell you the word of God. Amen. There are those out there telling people that if you give a certain amount of offering right now, that you're about to get a blessing in this amount and everything else. Don't fool yourself. Don't fall into that, because once they leave town with your money, they're not giving it back. And when it don't come to pass, then they're going to tell you that there was some sin in your life. They're going to tell you that you didn't believe believe. They're going to tell you that your faith has to come up to the next level. Guess what? God is just trying you right now. Just hold on. It's going to come. And if you don't doubt, see this doubt that you're doing right here, questioning whether or not. No, this isn't doubt. This is saying that I gave you my rent money because you said God was going to bless me. And I was naive as a sheep, not knowing that that's not how God blessed, because you wouldn't teach me the truth that the blessings of the Lord are yea and amen. Amen. You didn't tell me that the Lord add the blessings of the Lord make us rich and he adds no sorrow with it. You didn't tell me that if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to me. So instead of me receiving that, I went running after it thinking that I was going to get it, and I didn't get it. Now here you are trying to tell me that I messed something up when actually you never preached the truth to me. I did what I was instructed, and I'm trusting that what you told me was right because you got the title apostle. You got the title bishop. You got the title of prophet, evangelist. You got the title pastor. You got that title elder, reverend, man or woman of God. You got that. So I'm trusting that you know the way to righteousness. But what you're trying to do is get out here and get more for yourself. Paul was telling Timothy, he said, listen, no, you seen what I've gone through. You seen my life. You seen my manner of life. You have carefully followed my doctrine. It wasn't just what I said. It was what I did in front of you. Purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, persecution, perseverance, affliction, which happened to me at Antioch. What happened to Antioch? Because I lived this out, and I wouldn't change. I don't care how many people around are preaching a false gospel. If God called you, preach the unadulterated word of God, and don't you change not one word. Don't you go to the left. Don't you go to the right. Don't you shift nothing. Don't you switch nothing. You're not going to get any more than what God has already ordained for you for being obedient to his word. And I'll tell you, while you are being obedient to him, he'll make sure that nothing in you or around you goes lacking.
Amen.
You see that? You know, I thank God he covers me. I'm not perfect. I have many times that I fail him. I have flaws and things like that. You know, I don't know anybody who's perfect. Amen. Yeah. And even in that, God keeps me even in my imperfections.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? Because he knows that my heart is set on serving him, being obedient to him. So I may stumble. Huh? I may even fall. But guess what? He helps me to correct myself. He helps me to stand right back up. You see that? And I thank God for that. I'm so grateful to God that he keeps me and he helps me. Amen? Then this happened at Antioch. It happened at Iconium. Huh? At Lystra. What persecution I endured. And I said this before, go through it, endure it. There's something that God has for you, amen? And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. You can't get to deliverance if you won't go through. Let me say that again. You can't get to your deliverance if you won't go through. The children of Israel, I said this before, are entangled in the land. They're at the Engulf at Pithora. While they're there, they're set against the Red Sea and against Pharaoh coming up against them, and they're crying out, and the Lord made a way for them through the Red Sea. Water stood back. Now, I want you to know that if the people didn't move towards the deliverance, they would have died with a way being made for them. They couldn't get in the midst of the Red Sea standing up and then refuse to go any further because they would have died in the midst of the sea. You see that? They have to go through to their deliverance. This is the problem. They got through their deliverance and then on the other side still failed to believe God. How many miracle signs and wonders has God brought you through? And you still questioning the validity and the ability of God. Help us, Jesus. He's trying to get us to understand that there are some things that he wants for us, and he's working a miracle out. You're going to walk on the water. You're going to walk through the Red Sea. Yeah, these things are going to happen. But don't mess it up afterwards. Amen? Huh? If you can go into the sea, he can bring you out. If you can step out of the ship to walk on the water to him, he can sustain you. And even when you fail and you start looking around at the circumstances, if you will simply cry out to the Lord, he will reach down immediately like he did with Peter and rescue you. Amen? See, you're not supposed to succumb to the test of trial. Huh? The miracle is not going to come upon you and take you out. You see this? It's supposed to be a time where you can be tested by God. Your faith could be increased. Amen? Because now you know the limit of that faith walk. You understand? You know, if I only made 4 steps, that he sustained me 4 steps. So when it's time to make 8, now I know I can make 8, because if he kept me through the 4, when it's time to make 8, he'll keep me through the 8. You see that? And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, 12th verse here. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And this is where we pick it up. One of the things that Prophetess and I have been talking about, we had spoken and looked at some of the things that have been going on. There is a grace that is needed upon each one of our lives. Let me change just right quick and go over to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Mm-hmm. I do believe the 7th verse. Amen. It says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. What was the gift? 11th verse. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Okay, so in our walk in Christian leadership, in who we are, who God called us to be, God gave each one of us grace according to his gift for us. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? That means that even though you may look at something or want something or believe that something that you desire to have should be yours, if God didn't give you a grace for it, don't get out of your lane. Stay in your lane. Mm-hmm. See, when you get out of your lane, you create other problems, don't you? See, and that other problem that you create can cause other situations, other issues, if you will. Amen? Mm-hmm. So when we walk this out, we know who we are because we know the grace of God that is upon our life. Amen? I shared at Woman of Prophetic Destiny, people, I said, listen, there's a lot of people running around desiring the title of apostle and others like that, but you don't understand what we have gone through and what we had to go through in order to walk this walk. So while you're looking at it thinking that it would be nice if somebody looked at you and carried your bag, listen, first of all, let me say this. I don't need people to carry my bag. Amen. I don't need all of that. And when God gives me people who do that, I'm humbled by it. I'm not sitting back looking at them like, where's my armor bearer that's going to take my bag and carry this and do this? No, I'm not looking at that because my arms are good. My hands are good. Amen? Mm-hmm. In our ministry, I will play for ourselves because I want to make sure that the atmosphere is right. It's not because I don't trust anybody else, but if before I'm held hostage by someone who's going to sit down and play and see that we have so many people and look at me paying them the same amount that I would make as the senior pastor, I'll just play and do all the job as the senior pastor. Amen? I'm just saying. Amen? I understand that the workman is worthy of his hire, amen. But the workman, when you come in and you can't sit in the tabernacle with the word of God going on, but you can come right afterwards and be glorious, trying to invoke the presence of the Lord when you don't know what the presence of the Lord was, because when he was in here giving us instructions through the Holy Spirit, you were gone, talking about, you know, I ain't have to be in there. You know, you too deep to be any good. If you are tearing up, talking about how great and wonderful you are, and you ain't got nothing. And you won't sit down and get nothing. Amen? So here you are trying to get, you're trying to get $700-$800 a Sunday, you know, but you can't sit in the sanctuary and get the word. We know, because when it's time for you to quote a scripture, you quote around the scripture, because you ain't sat there long enough to hear scripture. See, so, you know, when it comes down to all of it, you know, you need to get a clue, get a correction, and sometimes just get a seat. Amen? Huh? So why am I saying this? Because this falls in line with where we're going. God calls and gives grace. But with the grace comes instruction. And with the instruction comes discipline and development. And with the discipline and development comes that mantle. When you begin to walk in the office, there are people I know who can right now start singing, start playing, and shift the atmosphere. But when you look at their life, they have paid the price for that anointing. Clearly, the grace of God is upon their life. This isn't a learned a group of young men and women who, when I say learn, I'm not talking about matriculation and that. I'm talking about learn as far as going to everybody's praise and worship conference so you can learn how to speak before the people. You know, there's some people out there who just got the lingo down. They can say it just perfectly. You promise yourself that they have been before the Lord, and they ain't bit more, you know, prayed for the meal, let alone talk to God. You know, they've gone through, they tested, tried, grown, gone through it. And this 13th verse that I'm leading into, yeah, as we begin to look at it, I'm setting a foundation for it, because you have to understand that people have been fooled and tricked by those who said that they knew, mm-hmm, those who acted like they knew, those who got up and tried to make people think that they heard clearly from God, when all they was doing was leading you into the next song that they have practiced. Mm-hmm. See, Sunday, we had set a song and the Holy Spirit shifted where we was going to go. And instead of going where we had planned to go, we allowed the Holy Spirit to have his way. And we experienced, we saw an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Some people didn't understand and were still waiting on the other song because they was ready, you know, to hear their song because they liked the song. And afterwards, I told them, I said, listen, when the Holy Spirit shifts us, you know, we might as well just, you know, forget about that other song. It wasn't, that wasn't the time for it. That's not the time to sing that song. It wasn't a fit. And what ended up happening is the power of God came in and validated the decision. Amen? And when we see that, then we know that we're following the will of God. So we're going to have some people look at us funny. You're going to have some people have an opinion about you and whether or not you really is dedicated and prayed up and spiritual as you are. You know, the reason why they're going to do that is because the Bible says that in the last day, oh, we're going to get down there. I can't jump down there just yet. But we're getting there. Amen. Huh? There's some things that are going to come forth here. And this right here begins to show it to us. 13th verse, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. Now, notice it didn't say will begin. It says will grow worse and worse. That means that in the day that Paul was speaking, there were already haters. There were already imposters. There were already evil men looking at a way to get these people together so that they could capitalize upon their general meetings. You see that? Mm-hmm. Grow worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. Mm-hmm. A liar will look for a bigger liar, a greater liar, so that they can learn how to lie greater. Isn't that interesting? I do believe that this is the scripture you showed me over in the message or the Amplified. Do you look that up, please, dear? Because I want to share that with them. Because you can actually see this word right here being propagated, huh? But you can see it being manifested before us. Amen? But you, 14 verse, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and be and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that means that instead of running after somebody who's going to tickle your ears and tell you what you want to hear and keep telling you you're great when God's telling you to stop sinning, to tell you that, you know, this is your time and your destiny and your season, when God said, listen, if you don't come, if you don't get this correct, I'm going to come and remove this candlestick. I'm going to try to get you together. Listen. Stop listening to those people who are telling you all this wonderful stuff you want to hear and get back to dealing with the fact that if you don't live the life that God called you to live, live a life of holiness, then you're going to bust hell right open and there's no remedy for that except Christ. We don't preach this anymore. Wait a minute, let me stop this. They don't preach this anymore because we still preaching this, heaven or hell. There is a choice to be made here, and you need to make the choice, make the right choice. When you lift up your eyes and your locale is not what you desire, go back to the choice that you made when you could have made one. Did you scoff at the decision? Did you look down upon it? Did you try to find any other way than that? The decision, huh? Or did you actually get up to walk what God said do? Did you get up to do what God said do? See, we have an armor that we need to be putting on. And we can't put on this armor when we're trying to put on any and everything else. I wish I had church full of people right now. I would say, just look at your neighbor and say, put on Christ. Amen? Because that's important right there. Amen? So, did you find that?
I did. 2 Timothy 4.
2 Timothy 4. Mm-hmm. 4 and 2.
And 3.
And 3. There we go. I know we're at the end of this and we're about to go into it. Amen. Amen. Let's walk all the way down here because I want to get down there to that because that is the place where we're going to hang our hat a little bit. Amen. And even if we don't finish it out today, Saturday we'll finish it up in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through, I do believe it'll be through 5. Yes. Amen. We can see that Paul is really speaking to Timothy and trying to help him to understand that, you know, you in ministry, you're going to go through some things.
Yes,
amen. These people looking at this, thinking that this is a walk in the park, and you know, you all you gotta do is hoop and holler and grab your ear and you know, shake the pulpit or roster and everything else. And that you know, you got this form of godliness that you believe, but this really don't do anything for the gospel which you should believe in. Guys, about to change some stuff up. Y'all about to see some stuff here. I'm telling you. The persecutions, some things that are about to happen, the groundwork is being set.
Yeah.
You think that all of these
laws
and the stand your grounds and the civil unions becoming marriages and everything else, you know, I don't care how much you try to make it legal in the law, you can't make it legal in God's law. Mm-hmm. And since the church is governed as a theocracy, you're going to have problem with God swallowing your mandate for his ordinance marriage to be put upon an abomination. Oh, yeah, I said that. Because the Bible says it.
So we can try to make it, you know, as much as we want, you know, just love between two people, when actually is your lust being fulfilled. And you want us to celebrate it because, you know, it's accepted. There's a whole lot of people out there doing a lot of stuff, okay? Huh? But we know better. We know a whole lot better, amen? And we need to deal with it. The first thing that they did was they tried to attack the Word of God. The reason why they have to attack the Word of God is because if they can get rid of the foundation of what you believe, then they can shift the meaning of what you believe. See, the Bible comes back and validates itself. Line upon line, precept upon precept, let every word be established. So as we get into this word, then we begin to see that as these things are going forth and are happening, that God has spoken to us and he's warned us. The Bible lets us know that he will not do anything unless he first reveals it through his prophets. And the prophets prophesied of Jesus coming, and he came. And the prophets prophesied of the other things that have happened, and they have happened. Now, let me show you the validity of this word here, because some people have said, well, you know, these different things have happened in different periods of time, and you have to understand something, that even though you may have seen some things that may have happened in different periods of time, if God didn't say it was over, it's not over. There are things still happening today that happened in Isaiah's day. To the letter. See, and while you're sitting there trying to, you know, disprove it, oh, it's being proved. Things happened in Jeremiah's day, things that he said to them and prophesied to them. And that's the thing about prophecy, is that prophecy comes, and even though it's spoken for a time, that word continues to work in the earth, fulfilling not just the word as it happens, but the response of that word. You see, the cause is the word spoken. The reaction is what happens after the cause. For every action, there's an equal or opposite reaction. So the word hits and something responds to it. And yes, through the annals of time, we'll see that ripple effect keep happening. That's why you know the difference between a true man or woman of God who will prophesy in the earth and speak the mandates of God versus somebody trying to get money out your pocket. Because when you look at the word that was spoken before, you'll see that that word is still working today. Mm-hmm. This is what God is trying to get us to. He's trying to get us to focus on this, amen, and let all this other stuff go. Listen, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. There's false apostles, false prophets, false evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And they get out there and they learn a couple of cliches. They learn a couple of things. Unfortunately, I heard somebody on Sunday say something about, come on, Tonto, let's ride. And I'm sitting there like, okay, since when did the Long Ranger and his sidekick and the horse Silver, when did it ever get a place in God's holy pulpit? Where does it have placement behind the sacred desk? You so full of yourself that you don't realize that you have picked up something from somewhere and brought it in, and it doesn't have any right or place in. Lord help us. Levitical law meant that he couldn't just show up anyway to offer sacrifice or fulfill his duty. There was a design for him. The sacrifice had to be a certain way. He couldn't just throw it up on the altar. It had to be laid out in order. See, all of this other showmanship and everything else, and I'm not talking about those who feel the presence of the Lord. If when the power of God hits me, I may hoop and holler a little bit myself. But I understand that when I do so, I've already preached a gospel. I've taught a lesson. I made sure that people understood what was going on. Before you heard a tune out of me, you already heard from me that this is what God is saying.
And it's not going to come or you know, at a certain point. It happens when he comes upon me to do it. My wife and those in our ministry, in our congregations would tell you that I don't always hoop. And if I do, you know, the power of God was in there. Amen. But I don't restrict myself from it, and I don't make it part of a regular show that you gonna get. Well, this is about the time he tuned up in E flat. No, it's not. You know, when I do, you'll know it. Amen. See, we got people who will learn how to go off. They go into places and they've taught them how to preach out the gospel, how to be great orators. So they learn how to say the words and everything else. And what they've become is people who have crafted their skills as those who speak publicly. Oh, public speaking, making speeches and everything else. One of the most interesting things I remember seeing was President Obama was doing his speeches and everything. And someone put up on social media, Pastor Obama, because he had the ability in his oration to get people riled up in it. People study his timing and how his voice flows when he does what he does. Clinton the same way. Mm-hmm. If you go back, you can go back through some of the leaders in the world. They talked about the way that Hitler got people to actually follow him was his oratory. You know, he knew how to draw the crowd. So now we still have people doing the same thing, some of them good and some of them bad. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't go off and learn how to perfect what you do. I'm saying don't go off and perfect what you do and forget the one that you're supposed to be representing when you do what you do. Get up and preach a good gospel. Make sure that you have your things together, but don't get in there and think that you're the reason why the people stood up. Don't ever get it upon yourself where you think that you're the reason why the church is filling up. See, Nebuchadnezzar thought he was the reason why Babylon looked like that, and God had to remind him, I'm the one.
Yes, he did.
Okay? And some of us need to have that reminder. While you try to tell everybody, I sit up here and built this and got this here. Okay, listen, if you did it, then you're responsible for it. But when God did it, he's the one. And if it's his church, let him have all his glory for what he's done. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Be a vessel that he's using. Be a tool in his toolbox. But don't take the glory for the building. See? But evil men and apostles will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Notice it wasn't wise to make you rich. It's wise for salvation. How? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul's reminding him that here you can't take anything else upon yourself and try to make that the foundation of what you do. I don't care what school you go to. I don't care what outline you get. I don't care who has spoken around you that you have taken a liking to and begin to model your dialogue or your monologue against. I don't care how you have decided that you're going to do this or do that. Don't forget that the foundation of what you do is in the Holy Scriptures. And why are the Scriptures there? The Scriptures are there so that we can have a roadmap and know which way to go. Amen. If you will not learn this word, then you cannot defend this word. So what you are left with is an opinion of this word. And when you're fighting against the enemy, opinions come a dime a dozen. He will take that word and twist it up, and you won't know where to twist or where to turn is. You'll be like Eve in the garden thinking that you're doing something good and be over here condemning your whole existence and everything connected. So what do we do with the scripture? So glad that you asked. In the 16th verse, it says, all scripture is given, by inspiration of God. Now, I heard somebody say something, and I had to correct them. They said, well, you know, the Bible ain't nothing but a man-made book. And I told them, I said, no, the Bible is a God-made book, inscripted by man. Okay? You have to understand something. When you make those statements, it's because you have a problem with the Bible. And most of the time when you have a problem with the Bible, it's because you have a problem with a lifestyle that you live or a vice that you have or something that you want to do that the Bible talks against. And you're mad at the Bible, so you're going to attack the scripture. Oh, men wrote that. Yes, they did. Men wrote it, but they were inspired by God. You see that? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. You see that? Huh? I want you to really look at it. 2 Peter 1 and 20. When this scripture came, it came through prophecy and through inspiration of God. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation.
With that secret Gnostic.
Huh? Heard somebody say on Sunday, they said, talking about the Masonics, the Masons, said, you know, we're looking at the Eastern Star, and that star and 5 points, and it represents this, and it represents that, and then you have this, and you see that G in the middle of the compass and the square really means God inspired, God ordained, God, and I sat there and looked at them like, how can you preach a gospel and throw God in the middle of that? The G there means Gnostic. Yeah. No, I'm a Mason. I tell you, don't mean that. I'm telling you from a Christian standpoint, from the Word of God, and from how it's mixed in, it means Gnostic. Gnosticism is when you take hidden knowledge and try to incorporate it into Christianity and still keep it as Christian when it's not. Once you violate Christian, huh? Anything that's not 100% Christian, it's not Christian. That's why people are out here with these churches and ministries being fooled left and right and walking, thinking that they're doing all they can do when the people won't tell them because they don't want them to truly see. They truly see they stop being fooled. They stop being fooled, then they'll get out of their beds. They'll stop paying off their cars. They'll stop taking care of their business. You know, fighting in the parking lot and sleeping around and, you know, a man got to do what a man got to do. God's trying to help me still. Wait a minute, hold on. Flesh on parade in the pulpit. Let's get this stuff out of here, okay? Inspiration of God, okay? You see that? And it's profitable for doctrine, not for your bank account.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, we're going to have to slow down and we're going to have to pick it up about right here.
Amen. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Notice these are foundational things that structure your walk, that correct your walk, that get on you when you think you're doing so well. It shows you where you didn't do so well at all. The scripture. We're going to try to do this. I don't want nobody to judge me. Why they judge me? I'm trying to live my life. Yeah, okay, we're going to live your life. But guess what? Don't try to tell people that you're walking this when you can't. This Bible will correct you. I'm not done. I just got to quit. Our time is up. Amen. Let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and I praise you, Lord. You're awesome. Even now, Lord, as we end this broadcast, I pray, Lord, for those who are hearing this, that those who are hearing this will receive the word of God and begin to walk after the word of God. The enemy has come in and tried to trick up so many, and so many have fallen by the wayside. Help us to take up our arms and put on the armor and walk this thing out. Get back up on the line. Get back up on the wall. become the watchman in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are not saved. I pray that they will pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the name of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. According to your word, I am now saved. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing ministry where they can be grow, where they can grow, and where they can be matured and developed. Go on and do what you called them to do in the name of Jesus. We speak miracles, signs, wonders, healing, deliverance now in the lives of people. I speak right now a prayer concerning our son, Elder Sean Mayo, who is going into his surgery, and his family. Guide the surgeon's hand, Lord. We speak right now speedy recovery in the name of Jesus. Keep them alert. Keep them focused. I bind every work of the enemy, every trick of the enemy. This will be successful, and he will go on and do what you called him to do. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, go to our website, www.cckr.org, and become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen, of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.